Listen and hear now these words of Scripture that Paul writes to the Romans, words that we find in the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 13. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the inheritance, the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. May God's blessing be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today. For they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the passion and the zeal of Paul. We pray now that his words might percolate within our hearts, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O God, that they might be pleasing and acceptable to us as you give us rest from all of the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may your Spirit be upon us, for we pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. If you woke up in the middle of night to discover that your house was burning down and every second remaining inside put your own life at risk, what would you grab, not counting people or pets, on your way out? Last night I said to Leanna and Abigail, so if the house were on fire, what would you take? And Leanna said, oh, I already have a plan. But you see, when she was 12 years old, somebody came to the school to get she and her sisters and line them up out in the hallway to tell them that indeed their house was on fire. Leanna will tell you that she still doesn't like that lady. Is that a safe assessment, Leanna, that that lady's presence just stirs up some emotions in her? Because Leanna's first concern was, are my mom and dad okay? Heck with the house. And so that evening then, as Leanne and her two sisters are in an elderly lady's home in a church, her mother had the audacity to go into labor. They weren't even with mom and dad that tragic night as the fourth girl, Joy, was born. That's a dinner party question, because the answers might make for some fascinating conversation. Your answer may also give a glimpse into your personality and your core values. Anyway, what might you say? Do you gather your most costly jewelry? Maybe a laptop or some antiques you can carry, bonds or cash from a safe? Do you grab those items that are most sentimental to you? Pictures of the children or grandmother's quilt, your journals, a letter from your mother or father shortly before they passed? Or do you maybe focus on some practical items, passport, phone, the backup hard drive, wallet, well, back the car out of the garage? What would your kids take on the way out? For some entertainment, go to theburninghouse.com and you'll see photographs from people around the world and items that they would grab and take with them. This is from Rima, age 16, in Saudi Arabia, a student. It lists her glasses, her shoes, an iPad, money, passport, and a cell phone. How about Drew Shannon from New York City in marketing? His digital camera, although it's not pictured because it's taking the picture. An external hard drive with nearly 10 years of photos, music, and documents on it. A watch, I'm not even going to pronounce it, a gift from his parents. Cufflinks, a 10-year kidney transplant anniversary gift, his medication, and his dog. Elena Duncan, 19, from New York City, a student. She would take her backpack, letters, a mug, an iPod, external hard drive, a planner, journal past, journal present, computer, my saxophone, Philip Grace. Not sure what Philip Grace is, but it's a pretty sweet-looking saxophone. If you search that web, you'll also find other places where some individuals would say, well, I'm going to grab a box of multi-grain cereal, a mounted deer hoof, an ABBA record. Really? My feather collection. Couldn't live without that. How about the person that said a bottle of Hendrix gin to watch while the house burns? In short, the burning house question provides an opportunity to give a response that reveals perhaps some of the deeply held values and maybe some of the personality quirks that we have. The text of this week from Romans is kind of a similar diagnostic question of us, but a little more on a spiritual level. If your life were to come to an end tonight, not your home, what would you carry with you into eternity? The Apostle Paul's answer, according to our text, is not a blessed thing except the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I understand that Billy Graham used to pose the question, if you were to die tonight and stand before Almighty God, and God were to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Now, we're picking up halfway through Paul's letter to the Romans, where Paul is addressing how human beings can be in right standing before Almighty God. Paul is arguing that all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, are separated from God. But now he also suggests that God's grace and mercy has also been extended to all people, both Jews and Gentiles alike, including the righteousness of Jesus Christ to all who believe. And this change of heart and mind comes to us through faith alone. Paul is challenging those who seek only to hold on to the law of the past. You might be groaning that all of this sounds really theological, and it is, but the good news is that there's no need to fear. See, Abraham had a great resume that would certainly earn him favor with God. Obediently, he agreed to transplant his family geographically to a new place. He hoped in God to fulfill the promise regarding his offspring. He was stunningly faithful with the Isaac test. And after Sarah died, he buried his wife in Cana before seeing the fulfillment of all of God's promises, and he indeed became the father of many nations. But here's the key to the passage, despite all of these great works within his resume. Verse 22, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. And likewise, for all of us, after Abraham, our right standing with God will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus Christ, our Lord, from the dead. If our life were coming to an end tonight, what should we bring in our arms to present to Almighty God? It's not going to be our good works. It's not going to be religious laws. It's not going to be the Christian legacy of our family. It's not going to be our denominational affiliation. It's not going to be correct doctrine. It's not going to be a lifetime of prayer and a love of Scripture. It'll be simply our faith in Jesus Christ. And so may we bring this now as we come to commune together. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the teachings of Paul. We are thankful for the relationship and the faith that we can have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That is all that we have to bring to you. We pray, O God, that your presence might radiate forth within us, that we might experience you today in new and different ways, that you might forgive us for all of those sins and quirks of the past. And that as we come before you today, that we might experience you anew. That in powerful ways, as we walk through this season and journey of Lent, you might touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. For it's in the name of Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen.